You're being recorded, FYI.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
So folks who don't know, there is a lot of work that goes into Brian and Me. It doesn't seem like it, but there is a lot of work. And this part you're currently listening to is called the pre-introduction or the pre-intro. Usually this is where we bring up something not really topical, but more just some jokey joke humor about the lives of yours truly, Brian Caves and Thomas Costello. Now, in this case, it's a little different tonight. Because of our solidarity with the writers and actors on strike, our writers actually, the scab that we've had the last couple episodes, we decided, you know what, we can't accept any scab. So our writers are on strike, so we can't... we don't have any pre-intro because nobody wrote it for us.
So if you want to be a scab, contact us at Brian Me. We're not paying well. As a matter of fact, it pays zero, which is probably why our writer's on strike in the first place.
That's probably not it. Probably because it doesn't. They're not pulling themselves up by their bootstraps enough.
Yeah, you know, it's nobody wants to work anymore. I mean, it's just
that's what it is. It's just the generation that we're currently in. But like our last scab, if you've seen Inglourious Basterds, we will let everybody know that you were a scab permanently. You can't hide it in the future.
But we will accept what you write because, I mean, obviously.
Right. Yeah. We're working here.
We can't come up with stuff on our own.
Gosh, that would mean our lives have things that are happening in it.
Well,
that's not going to happen anytime soon. Okay. Well, I guess we can get into the show then.
Solidarity.
Welcome, boys and girls, to Brian Me, where podcasts where we talk about soccer and other things. Podcasty things. So tonight's episode, or today's episode, we don't know why you're listening to it. Yes, we do. We're going to do it a little bit differently. We've done this before. We haven't done it in a while. So we thought, instead of having, you know, segment one, segment two, segment three, whatever you want to call it, we're going to let your Ask Bam questions be our guide. Like Jiminy Cricket telling your conscience to be your guide. We're going to get sued so bad.
Disney is coming after us.
Coming after us. They're bored right now. They don't have anything being made. So their lawyers are like, all right, let's just go after people for copyright. So using your Ask Bam questions, we're gonna talk about some stuff. You're going to ask us all the things that we're going to go through tonight. Some of them will be a little longer form conversation. Other questions, Franks, are going to be pretty quick. So let's go ahead and do the do. Brian, what's our first question?
Well, my first question, Thomas, I heard you pop a top there. What are you what you drinking on this evening?
Ooh, baby. Let me tell you what I'm drinking. I'm drinking a natural lime White Claw.
Ooh.
And you know what I got going after that? After that White Claw, I got a ruby grapefruit White Claw.
Ooh.
So these are only 100 calories a can, and it'll do the job. So I'm gonna drink that tonight as we go through our marathon episode. Which, to be fair, all of their marathon episodes. So yeah.
And you're the one that's running a marathon, running away from listening to the podcast.
Yeah, that and running down a dream. Yeah.
That never would come to me.
Working on a mystery.
Just going wherever it leads, you know?
Running down a drain.
Woohoo! Gainesville, Florida zone, Tom Petty.
That's rest good. In peace.
Matt Morris, 220, asks...
Hey, holding down the threads questions, by the way. Only person to ask us question on threads. way to go. Although we have had some ridicule on threads from Mike Slotson telling us that the Wave is awesome. But that just tells you all you need to know about him.
Yeah. Him and Felix. They're West Coast, weird West Coast traders. I don't know what that's all about. Who has the best fast food breakfast, Taco Bell or Wendy's?
All right. I once got the Wendy's breakfast soon after it came out. It was more of a thought experiment. Let's see how it goes. That is the lone time that I've had Wendy's breakfast. So that tells you everything you need to know about the taste. But also, there's something to say about going to Taco Bell when it's light out. So
no.
It's...
No, you cannot. I look at Taco Bell in a similar way to looking at Waffle House. Like if you're going there when the sun's out and you have no substances of any kind in your body, you're really messing up somehow. Like nobody goes to Taco Bell in the daytime. I've not had either of the breakfasts there.
Really?
Yeah, never had the Taco Bell breakfast. Though I will say the Crunchwrap that has like the hash browns and stuff in it looks pretty good. I'm not gonna lie.
I will tell you, I've had both of them. It's Taco Bell, so it's still good. I would say you have a larger quality drop from Wendy's burgers to its breakfast, where Taco Bell's quality is just the same across the board.
The like grade D meat, the same stuff that they make dog food out of, like
so if you know you're getting, if you already are eating the Taco Bell, let's just go ahead and say we're not making these decisions based off of delicacy, so
or health or
right, if you're already in the line, you're fine.
Good feelings later, both right. Physical and mental, like you're just
I usually go for the cheat menu, which they don't have the cheat menu, which is a shame.
Thanks a lot, Brandon.
Right. But I used to spend like $4 or $5. And then when you get that bag was way too heavy.
And you could do like curls with it.
Right. As soon as I get it, I'm just driving away and I do the sad meal where you sit in the parking lot and you eat it by yourself. And there's usually like one other car in the parking lot eating by themselves, not the car, but the person in the car. And it, that bag is so heavy. And you're like, well, I know I'm going to eat all of this, but I know it's not going to turn out well for me.
I hope they got all my fire sauce.
Oh my gosh. You make your own fire sauce from that stuff. but
yes, you will.
But, short answer, Taco Bell. Thank you for the great question, Matt.
Another Matt Morris food question, because Matt likes his food questions. You're going to Frisch's for the breakfast bar. I don't know what Frisch's is, I guess.
Big boy. A big boy.
What are you getting on your plate? So, I mean, I know what a breakfast buffet is.
Yeah, I've never been to Frisch's breakfast buffet, breakfast bar. So, Brian, if you had a breakfast buffet, let's just start any hotel. Continental breakfast. What's the not Continental breakfast. Some of those suck. A good hotel breakfast. What would you pick first?
It depends. So, if I'm in the South, first thing I'm going for is biscuits.
Oh, don't say the G word. Oh, I thought you were going to say grits. I was scared for a second.
Oh, I'm definitely getting some grits, too. Grits.
Are you a savory or sweet grits person?
Oh, savory. Sweet grits. What the hell is wrong with
people? But like, I don't know what's wrong with people. I think people who eat grits overall are crazy. I'd rather eat Taco Bell breakfast.
Are you like that scene in My Cousin Vinny with Joe Pesci where he's like, what's a grit?
Pretty much. I remember on our anniversary or my honeymoon with my wife, not with you. Every day is a honeymoon with you. Aww. We were driving down to Florida and we were in Florida. So we stopped at God's favorite restaurant, Cracker Barrel. And yeah. they were like, okay, it comes with grits. And I was like, can I exchange it for oatmeal? And they're like, that'll cost extra. And I was like, man, how bad are grits? They're cheaper than oatmeal. And so I didn't get any because that was real cheap back then. And by cheap, I mean real poor.
grits are good eating, you know, some eggs, some bacon, some sausage. Underrated thing on breakfast for me is like those French toast sticks. And I mean, those might not be underrated. They might be properly rated, but funny story about breakfast buffets. So as a kid, we lived, you know, everybody knows we grew up in Florida. My mom's job, one of the perks of her job is that we got really cheap passes to SeaWorld. So we lived like north of about 2.5 hours north of SeaWorld. And so we got really cheap tickets. But my dad was like, all right, well, I've gotten these tickets for real cheap. I'm already paying for, gas to get down there. Your ass is not eating in the park. I'm not paying. If you got your own money when we got a little older, if you got your own money and you want to buy food, that's on you. So we would hit up on the way down, we would hit up Shoney's. Which I don't know if they have. Do they have Shoney's outside of the South?
They had one up in New Philadelphia for a minute, so a little bit south of Canton. So yeah, it does periodically you'll see a Shoney's sighting.
They had, so that was like the breakfast buffet, and so my dad was like, "Here's a breakfast buffet. Eat as much as you can because that's gotta last you all day. It's gonna last you in a park in the Florida sun all day. I'm not paying for food." So we would do that, and then we would leave. And we would go to, this was back when Golden Corral didn't have steak at every Golden Corral. It was just like, so there, it was like an experimental Golden Corral where they had like steak and but it was still super cheap. And so after we left SeaWorld, we would go to the same Golden Corral in Orlando. We did this like every other weekend because it was, you know, it was still cheaper than like a vacation. And so
you live in Florida, you live in a vacation.
And so we would go there hungry, eat a bunch of food, and then my brother, my mom, and me would fall asleep on the way home because we got a stomach full of food. And right. My dad would be just cursing the entire trip home about how pissed he was at us because we all went to sleep and he had to stay awake.
That's what dads do, though. I can relate to that. Anytime we go somewhere, like, everyone can just doze off, everyone's sleeping, whatnot. I can't do that. So I get pretty annoyed too. And then whenever I get told how to drive, I can't do it anyway. Yeah.
So what about you? What you going for breakfast?
I'm a bit, the meats. Like Arby's, we've got the meats. I would like the meats. But if I'm talking away from the meat area, I'm going to the waffle maker that buzzes and you can little turning waffle maker thing.
Hell yeah.
I'm kind of an expert at those, even like helping folks out who are standing around. They look like they have no idea what they're talking about. Like they're there for their kids, like gymnastics event that weekend. Like, let me show you how the waffle maker works, buddy. So I'd like to make waffles for me and then also help other people.
Look, you're just a gentleman.
Salt of the earth, that's what it is.
Such a sweet guy. Final question from Matt Morris on Threads. With Major League Cricket starting up, this is a throwback to a discussion we had last week. Do you see it eventually causing more Americans to watch the game, or will it strictly be people who already like cricket?
The only way I've heard about cricket is by cricket people tweeting about it. I don't know if non-cricket people are going to get into a game that lasts like 5 hours.
So yeah, I think it's a couple of things. First of all, they have to find a way to make it within like a normal amount of time to watch something. Like, I'm getting more and more used to soccer, and so like NFL games are almost unwatchable to me anymore because it's like, man, I ain't got three hours and a half.
Yeah, it's so many stops. It's the stoppages in play that kill me. Baseball's getting better. I mean, the clock stuff they've done, I'm a fan. As much as I don't want to give any commissioner of any sport credit, it is a good move. I think that's a good move.
Yeah, no, I like that too. But yeah, I think another thing is a couple more things, really. For one, it has to be accessible. When I say accessible, I mean I have to know where I can go to watch it. Yeah. And it has to be in a place where I can go to that place and find it. Like, say what you will about MLS putting all those games behind a paywall, at least I know if I go to Apple TV, I've got that MLS League Pass, I can watch all the games right there. Boom. They've got little wrap up shows. They've got all the production that they've put a little bit of, you know, production effort into it. And so, like, I know where to go to watch them, and it's easy to find, and it's easy to find what you want to watch on the menus are navigable. And the other thing is, one of the things, and I'll give a shout out to Arena Football. So I don't know why this is always, this memory has always stuck in my head. I liked Arena Football as a kid. And one of the things I liked about it is they would randomly take time to explain rules. So that if you're like an NFL fan or you're a fan of others, you know, whatever, and you're watching Arena Football for the first time, you're kind of like, oh, that's why they're doing that, or that's why that's that rule, or like they spent a little bit more time like explaining to you what's going on so that you understood. They're trying to get that like casual or new fan to understand the game a little bit better. And so having something like that where they explain the game and what's going on and make it accessible to where, you know, somebody who doesn't really understand it can come in. And you know, if they, I've always said Jordan Angeli was the best at that in soccer, about making like tactical concepts easy to understand for new or casual people. So, you know, the cricket equivalent of Jordan Angeli has to be out there somewhere. Like, let's get them, doing it. And yeah, get me a team in Charlotte and, you know, why not? I'll go out.
Gots to be. Shout out to Jordan Angeli too, because she's on a new show on the Golazo Network, which is the free CBS soccer network that they created. I think it's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4:30. They have a women's soccer show that talks about bigger leagues in the world, like NWSL, WSL, and then also World Cup stuff. So shout out to Jordan also bringing that explanation fire to the Golazo Network. So shout out to the BAMFAM member.
The GOAT.
Our first guest during the pandemic was Jordan Angeli.
Really? Mm-hmm. I forgot that. Okay. We'll move to the Frank Barber memorial portion of the show today. He wants to know, which TV series should he watch at work? More dialogue centered, the better.
Well, dialogue centered, that's Gilmore Girls. All they do is talk in that show, and they talk fast. Although, would he be able to pay attention to the talk? They talk so fast, he's going to miss a lot of stuff.
The first thought that popped into my head because of a similar reason was Squid Game, only because it was in Korean, and so you would actually have to like watch the subtitles the entire time to know what's going on.
What about Ken Burns? Anything Ken Burns?
My dearest Martha.
You can hear Bob Costas wax poetically about baseball as if it's friggin' Shakespeare.
About Ty Cobb.
My God, Ty Cobb. Racist. What, like five people showed up at his funeral or something like that? Mm-hmm.
1919 Black Sox or something. Or yeah, like Ken Burns Jazz.
Ken Burns National Parks, bro. Put that on. You're set.
There's nothing I want to hear about more about jazz from just
the whitest
person I can think of. Yeah, tell us about jazz, Ken. It's really about the notes you don't hear.
By the time you get through all of his documentaries, you'll be at retirement age. So I would just do that. That would help you get through it. So, Frank, you're welcome. That's why we're here. We're here to help. Just you, Frank. Just you.
Frank's next question is, I give up. So,
you're a little behind us, buddy.
Real insightful there. Mess it up. Turboprop lavender.
Turquoise or lavender. Ended up sending a DM to correct that one. Turquoise or lavender. Lavender. Come on. Taylor Swift writes about it. It's lavender.
Give me turquoise. I thought turboprop lavender was some kind of like Soviet like activation word for like
He's going to turn to the Winter Soldier.
All of a sudden, I'm some kind of like secret Russian spy I didn't know about.
Suddenly, I like the Wendy's breakfast over the Taco Bell breakfast.
This Reggie is a Wendy's Miller plant. Reggie Miller is the greatest of all time.
Oh my God. If I ever say Reggie Miller's greatest of all time, I need lobotomized.
I do love Reggie Miller, though, but not the GOAT. But I love Reggie.
He's not LeBron James.
Favorite from Ladarius Brown. Favorite soccer-centered movie?
I really like Shallow and Soccer. That was a fun movie. That was a good one. Not really serious by any means, but it's fun. What about you?
Big Green.
Big Green. Is that like the equivalent of Little Giants, but for soccer?
Almost to a T.
Doesn't have the kid from Sandlot in it, too?
Yes, it does.
I've never seen Big Green.
He's the goalie. It's great. It's got him and Steve Guttenberg, like end of career. End of career Steve Guttenberg and the kid. Did you see the Little Rascals movie?
I did. The kid who played Alfalfa or the kid who played Buckwheat? No, not Buckwheat. What's his name?
Spanky.
What's the other Spanky, thank you.
It's the kid that played Alfalfa. Yeah, Bug Hall is also also in that movie. Yeah, it's an all-time classic. Highly recommend.
I haven't seen Bend It Like Beckham. Maybe I should.
Yeah, never seen that one. And outside of those, what other soccer movies are
Kicking and Screaming?
Yeah, Mike Ditka.
Ladybugs.
Ooh, Rodney Dangerfield. I forgot about that scene. I'm trying to give Ladybugs no respect.
Can't get no respect. No respect. Take my wife, for instance. Please, take her. I don't think that's Rodney Dangerfield, but it's the same kind of comedy.
I tried to take her, but she keeps coming back.
Hey, hey, oh, hey.
we'll jump on to... I think this is a good place to have this discussion. This is from at Pickle Chip. Replace the eyes
replace
with ones.
Replace the eyes with ones. Okay.
I don't know who that would be, but his question is just...
They sound sexy, and I would love to hop on that.
Oh, you would. They ask, and not referring to Jordan Angeli, why Jordan, why?
So this is not... Yes, we were just... praising Jordan Angeli. This is not what we're talking about. We are talking about to get serious for a moment.
And Jordan's not taking any of that sweet Saudi money that we're aware of anyway.
No, not yet. We'll see. Jordan Henderson. Jordan Henderson is the former Liverpool captain. I say former, not just because he left, because on this show, if you've listened to the show for any number of years, you know that forever I've always said that Jordan Henderson's the captain of England. I've always said that he's the captain of England, regardless of who puts on the armband. But with Liverpool, if he were to leave for any team, whatever, it's fine. You've heard us talk about it on the show. We understand sports. We understand that, you know, the players don't get a lot of control. The owners get a lot of control. So when you can move on, and let's say the team doesn't, you know, give you what you want, move on to another team, whatever. If he would have gone to Spain or Germany or France or Italy or MLS.
Another club in England. Go to
Right. Brighton. If he went to Southampton or something like that.
Yeah.
He would still be, in my head, Jordan's. He would still be the captain in my head. Like, oh, he's the captain of Liverpool. That's the guy. So I don't say he's not the captain just because he left the team. But Jordan Henderson left to go to a club in Saudi Arabia. Now, that seems unfair because a lot of people have gone to Saudi Arabia. We haven't talked about Roberto Firmino going there. We haven't talked about Fabinho from Liverpool going there. We also haven't talked about guys from like other clubs. What's his name from Chelsea, the midfielder? N'Golo Kanté.
N'Golo Kanté went there, yeah.
Was getting angry about that. Nothing was getting, you know, upset about that. But the reason that people are upset, if you're not aware, if you're not in the Liverpool circles, the reason Jordan Henderson going there is such an issue with folks, and today we're recording this on Wednesday, they agree to a deal. Liverpool and Etifak. I don't know. Is also the team that Steven Gerrard manages. He went. He left. Or he hasn't agreed to go yet. But the terms have been sealed. And at this point, it's just, okay, I'm packing my bags. Let's go.
Yeah.
The problem with Jordan Henderson going is that for years, this is before the pandemic, during the pandemic, he has stood up when other athletes really don't talk much about certain issues. He is like the rainbow laces, LGBTQ. During the pandemic, he was the captain, actually, of all the players who were working together to raise money for the NHS. Like, he started this fundraiser for the medical thing. But the item that people remember the most from him was his work for the pride, the LGBTQ community.
He wrote a long article in, I want to say it was, I read about it today. You sent me in the Athletic article. It was a match program. Yeah. For during Pride.
They have if you've never seen match programs for teams, they have the captain will write something every match. And it's usually a couple hundred words. And it's for the badge, blah, blah, blah.
Thanks for coming and supporting. And we love you and blah, blah, blah.
Sure. Sure. He wrote a more than 900 word piece about supporting people in the community who are not like you. That's pretty much it. If you're not a cis white straight person, it was talking about, why are you treating them differently? Why are they being treated differently? And it was this big supportive thing that made a lot of people within the Liverpool fans the Cop Outs is their group name for LGBTQ and allies for Liverpool supporters, similar to the Lily Whites. What's their name?
Proud Lily Whites. At Tottenham.
These groups are forming around Premier League teams, and Liverpool is one of the larger ones.
Yeah.
So that's the big issue with Jordan Henderson, is that this person who's been so crucial in the support of people in that community has now gone to a country that's only let women go to matches since 2018. And everything that he's talked about being, marginalized and we need to treat them better, is now illegal. And you would be punished for this.
Oh,
like, you would
probably
criminally
be
punished, probably killed for what this soccer league is pretty much a PR thing to make Saudi Arabia. It's the same, it's Qatar getting the World Cup. It's Saudi Arabia trying to be the key marketers on this World Cup, but eventually with pressure from many players, many people within the women's soccer world, they turned it back and they're not going to do anything with Saudi Arabia. This is the opposite now of what those players did for the World Cup. Jordan Henderson's doing nothing. From what it sounds like, he could, by the time we release this, say, you know what? After this, I've thought about it, and it's a change of heart, and I'm not going to go. But I feel like we all know that at this point, it's probably just going to happen.
And at that point, too, again, are you? If he says that, right, he turns around and says, you know what, no, after thinking about it, talking to my family, whatever the hell, I'm not going to go. It's like, okay, are you doing that because that's what you believe in? Or are you doing that because people called you out? Because you face some backlash, because all of a sudden it hurts. You're going to make a lot more money, but it hurts, your image or your, people's view of you as a human being or whatever the case may be. It's like the damage is done.
Pushing for it. And I think it is too. I think partly because Steven Gerrard is the manager there.
Sure.
I think that's a big part of this, because Jared, that is the club that he manages. So, of course, going with a former teammate, another Liverpool legend, is of course, a motivation behind it. But when you talk about the irreparable harm, I am biased. If he turned around and said, you know what, because of that, if he had some statement like that, because of that, I'm not going to go, I could appreciate somebody owning up to it.
Sure. And it's all it's all in the statement too, for sure, in what he says.
Right. But considering he, assuming that he does go, which he's probably going to go, the response from fans who maybe don't care as much about the moral aspect of the world will say things like, well, you know, he just has to do what's right for his family. Oh, he's just, you know, he's allowed to make money. And we have talked at length on this show. You are definitely allowed to make money. We are not going to be mad at somebody for making money. But at this point, taking wages with a Brighton Hove Albion, or, you know, taking wages with a smaller English club, he's not going, him and his family aren't going to be in the soup kitchen line.
I mean, go anywhere, like anywhere but there. Like, I mean, there are, you know, large leagues, you know, where you can make plenty of money, more than most of the people you're around in that particular area will ever see in their lifetimes. You'll make in a month or a week.
Right.
In, you know, again, England, France, Germany, Spain, hell, MLS, whatever. Like, I'm, yeah, far be it from me to tell somebody, look, hey, you gotta do what's right for you. 100% agree. Mm-hmm. But why there? I know they offered you the most money, and they offered you stupid money.
More than anybody, what, $700,000 a week?
Yeah.
More than anyone's going to pay you in England or any other country.
Then you know what? I would almost respect him more. I'm not going to respect him either way, but I would almost respect him more if he just came out and said, yeah, you know what? Those things I said before, that was all about my image and publicity, and it's really always, it's really about the money for me. I took this because of the money. I don't really care about any of that. At least at that point, you're being honest, because what we'll probably get is some kind of, if he addresses it at all.
They're not going to get anything. If he goes, he's not going to say a word. What's going to happen is after his time in Saudi Arabia is up, when he wants to come back into the public, or if he wants to do stuff, like, I feel like with Liverpool and with these teams, he's still going to come back, and he's still going to be,
oh yeah,
like, Gerrard's going to come back, Fowler's going to come back, because Robbie Fowler took a second division Saudi Arabia coaching job, because they are hiring anybody. I think actually, if I check my email, I probably have an offer in there for coaching a Saudi Arabian team. They, he's going to have to come back into the public sphere, because Saudi Arabia, I don't know how their matches are aired. I have no idea if they're even showing. And I don't, I have no intention of watching. I don't care. Like, there's nothing about me that wants to watch.
You don't want to watch Ronaldo?
Who apparently has made like some obscene amount, like 118 million since he's gone there. He makes like millions of dollars per goal. Anyway, at some point he's going to have to face it, or over time, most people aren't going to say anything about it. But the people that are hurt the most, like, there was an article that came out from the article that I shared with you, Brian, and they're a writer for The Athletic. I think her name is O'Neill. Yeah, Cammy O'Neill. She does writing for both Liverpool senior teams, men's team, women's team. Does a lot of great work. But she's a Liverpool fan, and she's also a lesbian woman. So she wrote about her story and about how Jordan Henderson, how it was a breaking of trust with the community. And so over time, yeah, most people aren't going to say anything about it, but the people who are impacted, it's forever tarnished. There's no way, I think, if he goes over there, that it can be fixed. I think that relationship is over.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Like, yeah, you know, what are you going to do? We'll address this one to, I think, toward the end. Felix wants to know, who's going to have more goals, Leanne Kiernan or Missy Bo Kearns?
You jerk. We're keeping it Liverpool. Yeah, Felix was in the DMs today on the personal Insta, not the Finsta, which is Brian and me. That's the Finsta. He was talking about how Katie Stengel is going to stay with Gotham. Who's going to score all the goals and stuff? And he has an issue with the term Scouser. He doesn't like it. I'm just trying to educate him a little bit. He doesn't know who Leanne Kiernan is. I'm calling you out, Felix. So Leanne Kiernan is going to score more because she's a forward, and she scored 13 goals in 22 matches two seasons ago. So she's going to score more than Missy Bo-Kearns. Will maybe score like 3 goals all season. Felix.
Boom. There it
and
is.
And by the way, the WSL schedule came out. I don't know if you saw. So Liverpool starts the season against the Gunners. Liverpool's going to do the same thing to the Gunners that did to Chelsea at the beginning of last season. And that's win on the opening night, opening day of the season.
Dub City.
And you're gonna know their name. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Get them.
Who's Tottenham start against? Do you remember who's Tottenham's first match
of
the season?
I don't remember right offhand. Oh,
okay. All right. I know Liverpool and Tottenham play each other. I think it's in October. So pretty soon. Or maybe October, November. One of the first couple months. We'll have a Bryant and me, Terrence Trent D'Arby between Liverpool and Tottenham.
Chelsea.
Ooh, Chelsea.
Good way to start the season with a win.
Ooh, calling that out.
Sam Kerr going to be stinging from the U.S. Women's National Team winning the World Cup. Comes Ooh. In, and Tottenham's just like, hey, Alex Morgan, one-time Tottenham player for like a few months. She beat you at the World Cup. Her old team is going to beat you in the WSL.
Yeah. It's when they go run wild on you. Okay, I've used that twice now tonight. First time was off the recording, brother.
Felix also wants. Felix asked a lot of questions tonight.
We love all the questions, Felix.
Let's jump to this one. Favorite drink on a summer day?
Well, I declare, when I'm parched, sitting on the porch, looking for a reprieve from the sun's rays, I like to. I really don't know. I've been on an iced coffee kick.
Hell yeah.
I still drink hot coffee in the morning, but I'll drink iced coffee at night. But also, if we're talking about like alcoholic drinks, I like a good like summer shandy, a little summer shandy action. I'll get a summer shandy going. A little Land Grant does this lemon slice or something like that. I can jive with that. And I got my claws going, so ain't no laws, brother.
A little summer shandy action. I hadn't had one of those in a long time. And, you know, it's a Leinen Kugel beer made in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin recently at a baseball game.
Ooh.
Very hot. And I don't think a summer shandy has ever tasted as good as it did when it was, like, just miserably hot in the sun at a baseball game. And I'm like, I'm going to drink a local summer shandy. And it was delicious. Yeah. The correct answer to that is, of course, water. Drink.
Stay hydrated.
The BAM.
Jason Aldean's out there not drinking their water. Some racist pieces of garbage out there.
No talent. Piece of shit.
Who's that one guy Homer likes? Who's the one guy who got caught a couple of times being a...
Morgan Wallen.
Morgan Wallen. Get that Morgan Wallen crap out of your home, or you're better than that. Don't just besmirch the good name of Nottingham Forest. Listen to Morgan Wallen. Get that crap out of here.
Garbage. I had to sit. We had Luke Combs, apparently, here in Charlotte over the weekend, who is like a big name in country music, I guess, and he's from here. He sold out Bank of America Stadium two nights.
Wow.
But, yeah, he's terrible, too. Garbage. just garbage. Pop, bro, nonsense, country music. Kids listen to some Jason Isbell. Shut up.
Yeah, there we go. Get some Sturgill. Get some Tyler in there. Listen to this band Flory. You need to listen to Flory. That's who you need to listen to. Flory.
Murder by Death.
There we go.
So, another good Felix question here. You have 20 minutes to survive for $100 million. Pick one to survive against: bear, hippo, alligator, or tiger.
And I did clarify, this is in their natural habitat. So we're not in like a Return of the Jedi Jabba's Lair dungeon where like you're just in the
Rancor pit.
Really, the Rancor pit. This is just in their natural habitat. I feel like this one's easy. I could get away from a hippo. A hippo's not going to scare me. It's not going to run after me. I'll be able to get out of that water. I think a hippo for sure.
Hippos are incredibly... Hippos kill more people than anyone else on than any other animal of that four on an annual basis.
How do you know this? Is this a Simpsons quote?
No,
I feel like I'm being punked.
I just like to watch animal documentaries. That's like my new thing, is watching animal documentaries.
Oh.
I'm going to go, I think the Floridian in me has to say alligator.
Does he have history of battling them?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking my hope is the alligator is going to know, hey, this guy's a Floridian. He's going to feel it in my just general aura. And we'll just chill. We'll just be like, all right, hey, I'll split the money with you. Like, I'll give him like 10%. And or just buy him like a big pack of like raw chicken.
But the thing is, like, that gator could get 100% of it. But you're not a tourist, so it's going to go after tourists.
Right. I'm a Floridian. I'm a real Floridian.
Yeah. Real Floridian hero, yeah.
This from the aforementioned Homer Olsen wants us to rank these five candies. Mm. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Butterfinger, Reese's Cups, Snickers, Twix, and Milky Way.
I'll start us off. Reese Cups is the number one. Like, for sure. Number one, goat. Reese Cups is number one. Second one on that list, I got to find this listing because I'm not going to remember that. Second one, I'm going to put Snickers.
Mm.
Snickers is number two. Twix is number three. Milky Way is number four, and Butterfinger is the last one because they changed their chocolate recipe. It's just not as good anymore, man.
I don't like, but the thing I don't like, and I like Butterfinger. I mean, they're good. Don't get me wrong. But the thing I don't like about them. I'm going to edit that to
say I like butt.
I mean, whom amongst us? It gets stuck in your teeth. Like the
Butterfingers, right?
Yeah, the Butterfinger gets like
stuck. I thought, we changed topics. Okay.
I mean, sometimes it's the Butterfinger gets like stuck in your teeth. I still think they're better than Milky Way. Like Milky Way to me is one step above Three Musketeer, which is garbage.
I like Three Musketeer.
It's like old people diet candy.
It's not Werther's original. Come on.
Dude, no, hey, we are not hating on Werther's original on this podcast, sir. I love a Werther's original. I would actually, this may be blasphemy, I would switch Snickers and Reese's. I like the Snickers. Yeah, it's the texture. It's the texture for me that makes the Snickers. Like, you got the nuts in there. You got the caramel, the nougat, the chocolate. It's just the different textures and flavor. The textural and flavor contrast in the Snickers.
So butts and nuts. That's what you're trying to tell me is butts and nuts, textural things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, I do like a Snickers. If I'm at the grocery store or my usually gas station, I don't buy candy bars at the grocery store. I'm not a lunatic. At a gas station, usually where you buy candy bars at.
For sure.
If I'm like hungry, I know it sounds like a commercial, I'll grab a Snickers.
More filling, for sure.
Yeah. Reese is not going to fill me if I'm getting one for based on hunger. I'll tell you a combination I do like. It's not on the top five. But you listen to Morgan Whalen, so I can do whatever I want. And it's my podcast. I'm holding the microphone. I'm the man in the arena. I like getting a Hershey's white chocolate cookies and cream, Hershey's cookies and cream, and a Coke Zero. That combination, it's I don't know what. Je ne sais quoi. It's just, it's beautiful.
Interesting. I don't know that I've had that combination, but it sounds delightful.
Thank you. It's delightful.
I will say that give me a Reese's on s'mores instead of the Hershey's.
Have mercy.
Once I did that,
Jesse on you on that one.
that was a game changer.
We did that at our house. We did that at our house too.
I took that on a vacation, on a family vacation one time too.
Was that the first time you did it?
Yes. Was it your house?
Oh, I broke the seal. I deflowered you.
Brian Lanois, the great.
Hey, I know him.
Brian Lanois, of Quar fame. Speaking Ooh. Of
good God, y'all.
What is it good for? Absolutely everything.
Nothing. Say it again.
Brian Lanois. Speaking of Quar, did you see that Guar did an NPR Tiny Desk concert?
That's fantastic. I didn't watch it, but I just seeing the picture of them standing around.
All I needed was the thumbnail.
I just need the picture. That's all I need.
Exactly. I don't even want to watch it. I don't even know that I like their music. I don't.
The music's garbage, but
but just the image of something that's usually it's all kind of music is on Tiny Desk, but I think of like
someone playing a mandolin.
Exactly.
With like a dirty ponytail.
That's perfect. That's spot on. I couldn't have said that better. So then all of a sudden you just got Guar, which if you don't know anything about what Guar is, they're in like full, it's like Kiss times a million. Like
it's like Kiss meets Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because it's just all like crazy makeup and like huge skulls and metal everywhere. It's just, it's nuts. Like demonic or something. I don't know. Anyway, Brian Lanois, good guy. He wants to know some of our favorite 23-24 jerseys you've seen from the European leagues.
I know you didn't care too much about it, but Arsenal is currently wearing them the All-Star game where they're waxing MLS All-Stars 2-0 in the 23rd minute. Some guy who I don't know his name, I don't care about Arsenal. He just like drilled a shot from outside the 18-yard box. Anyway,
wasn't that Thomas Partey, was it?
No, I don't think so. Number 19, he has blonde tips. He's back in his JT phase. Justin Timberlake for the kids out there.
No, I was thinking James Taylor.
No, Justin Timberlake, man. Did James Taylor, did he also encourage a blonde tips phase in the world? Oh, gosh. Might be 3-0. Just kidding.
Rock-a-bye, sweet baby James, man.
Excuse me. but I like those ones. They're kind of these black swirls. They make me think of those little crappy worm fireworks that burn. They burn and they...
The good stuff, man. Snakes and sparklers.
Yeah. Joe Dirtie. I like those with like the little neon yellow. I also like Liverpool's white and green ones, which are an homage to an older kit from yesteryear. It's like in four different quadrants or something like that. That looks fine. And then I've shared this, I think, before.
I've seen a lot of kits this year.
Yeah, aesthetically, I just don't really... I don't look out for the kits. I don't look for... Trossard, by the way. Trossard was the guy who scored the goal for Arsenal. Yeah, they're all bums. I'd have to look at some. How do Tottenham's kits look? Do they look extra plain white?
The home kit is pretty plain. I think they put some swirls or something on it. This time. Ooh. But I'm a That'll slob. Keep
Kane.
I'm a slob, so I'll never buy a white Tottenham kit because it'll just end up with stuff all over it. I will say their away kit this year is really nice. I really like it, and it's got a collar, and I loves me a kit with a collar, so I'm probably going to buy that one.
You know who hates collar kits? Pete Gillette. He hates a kit with a collar, which is weird. I sent you a link.
Somehow that feels right, and I don't know why that feels right.
I think
because
he's got big, big manly shoulders.
That's fair.
And a neck and stuff. I think he doesn't want to diminish from that. I respect the game. I don't hate the player or I hate the game in this case. Bournemouth's away kit. It looks
I'm
like a
looking at that.
fingerprint, but I don't hate it.
That
I
is pretty
definitely don't
sharp.
hate it.
Brighton's are always classic. I love a vertical stripe.
Aston Villa's got a gambling sponsor, which I heard was some controversy. If I'm in England, not controversy, you lunatics. Just say controversy. Controversy in England. It looks like Burger King, though, because it says BK8 and there's a crown in the eight. That's fine. Brentford, they've kept the same kits. They do that, I think, for sustainability reasons. They don't really release new kits like Liverpool releases five new kits every year.
I love I love Palace's away kit only because I'm a sucker for a sash on a
Oh,
kit.
I am weak for a sash. Let me tell you, the Supporters Supply Pride kit, which is great. I'm just, I'm all for it. But it had a sash on it. I ordered that kit so darn fast, so darn fast. Oh my gosh! And then when I wore it to the Columbus Pride Parade, it was a very popular choice. Very popular choice. The Fulham home kit looks like a training kit. That looks like garbage. Hot garbage.
Nothing will ever be worse than the Captain America kit.
Oh my, those training kits, those Captain America kits, Lord have mercy. Let's talk about the new team, Luton Town. I don't hate their kit. The orange kit with like the white stripe down the
Okay.
side,
Yeah, it's
with
not
one
too
of the
bad.
stripes, one of the edges, the right side of the stripe has a very thick black line, but the left side of the stripe is like faded. I like it. I like that. That's pretty sweet. I can jive with that. Man City's garbage all around, and I'm not even going to talk about them.
The Everton kit again with the collar. Love me a kit with a collar. And I like that
Hey.
their collar is like it's a solid
Off
blue
color.
kit. And then it's got, yeah,
Yeah.
like the white with the blue patterning on it.
Liverpool's are fine. It's a red kit with
I like their
white.
away kit.
Yeah, that was the green, the white,
Yeah.
the homage to the old-timey kit. The Newcastle away kit, it's whatever. I don't
I
care.
like that Jordan Henderson is in the promo photo for it too. Like, images that didn't age well.
That's not him. That's Darwin Nunez. And Luis. Oh, is that for the away kit?
Yeah, for the away kit.
Oh, sorry. My bad. My bad, dog. Nottingham. Sorry, Homer, but get a sponsor. Join the 21st century for crying out loud. Jesus.
The third kit's kind of cool though.
I don't hate it. No, I like the third and the second kit. They do. There's a good thing. A kit. Sheffield, you don't have one either? My God. And then I also just remember Richarlison is still with Tottenham. Thank you for
Is
that.
did a whole lot of nothing last year,
He scored a goal last year. Wasn't that great?
but he scored some worldies in the World Cup, so you know.
They call them worldie cups. So if I had to choose my favorite one, I'm going to pick Liverpool's kits because Liverpool is the greatest.
I'm gonna pick the Tottenham away kit, which isn't pictured in the article you sent me, partly because it's got that. Have you seen the kits that have the Nike logo that's like multicolored or whatever and it's like
No,
shiny?
oh, yeah, kind of like the paint jobs they used to do on really weird car,
Yes.
cool cars. Yeah, like changes when you look at it, it's like reflective and
They
color
did.
changing. Yeah.
The Spurs away kit has the Nike swoosh in that and the Tottenham, like the crest with the
Okay.
rooster on the ball. It's pretty dope.
I don't hate that. I still want to get a Nike kit where they have the old school Nike logo where it says Nike above the swoosh. I kind of like that look.
Tottenham did that on one of their kits a couple years ago, and yeah, it was really cool.
Still haven't done one. I'm kind of bummed out. That was it for the Ask Bam questions, but I have a couple more things I want to talk about.
I skipped some so that I figured
Oh,
we
you
could come back
did. Why
to.
don't we
So
take
if
a
you're.
break then? Let's take a break from our Ask Bam questions.
Yeah.
We'll come back to them. Let's talk about one topic in particular. Maybe because I have the MLS All-Star game on while we record this, but let's be some messy bitches.
Who love drama?
We love drama. So let's talk about Lionel Messi coming to MLS because you come to our show for hard-hitting soccer analysis. and everything that's happening in all of American soccer at every single level. So let's talk about Messi. Brian, initial thoughts. We're going to do initial thoughts and current thoughts. Initial thoughts when you heard that Lionel Messi, the GOAT, even if you ignore the fact that Ronaldo raped somebody, he's still the GOAT. I would think he's still better, but that just solidifies it even more.
He's a much better all-around player for sure.
What did you think initially?
My opinion really hasn't changed. I'm stoked. I'm excited, really. Like, yeah. Only because it means that I might get a chance to see him play.
Gotcha.
Now,
gotcha.
I'm not going to be one of the people that goes out and buys, like, a Messi jersey and, yeah. You know, a Messi Inter Miami, or, you know, shows up to when he's in Charlotte wearing, you know, an Argentina kit or something. Like
a Barcelona kit.
There's going to be a lot of people like that. And I feel like my job, and same thing when he's in, you know, Columbus or anywhere else, my job as a fan, I think, is because you've got some people that are ready to be assholes about it. Like, oh, you're just here to see Messi. Get out of here. I'm the opposite. Make him feel welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, you know what? Yeah, you came to this game to see Lionel Messi. We've got a really fun atmosphere here at Charlotte FC. You came to see Lionel Messi, but hey, you're local to Charlotte. Stick around. Come check out more home games. Come be a part of our supporters group. Come be a part of,
right.
Like, it's a way, like, I couldn't care less about the health of MLS or the fact that this is going to, you know, improve American soccer, bring eyeballs. I couldn't care less. Like, any of that, whatever. Don't care. Because I don't care about the health of American soccer or MLS or any of that. Whatever. Don't care.
No.
I care about Charlotte FC, and I care about the fact that I will get to see, hopefully, get to see arguably, you know, if not the greatest player of all time, certainly one of them.
Greatest player of our generation.
Oh, for sure. That's easily. And so, yeah, like that, I think, is pretty cool.
That's interesting because I kind of went on a journey. At first, when Messi was coming here, and especially when everybody, especially the Aspire, this is right around the time the blue check marks go away. And there are reporters who have never been verified before. They buy it, and they're all trying to hold the jock strap of Messi. And they all want to be like, oh, my God, he's coming here. Oh, my gosh. And everyone freaked out. So I think the initial freak out, and this goes back to a general just not wanting to be told what to do in the first place. I just have this reaction to people saying what I should like.
Sure.
I was just, it's contrarian, definitely. But I was like, I don't care that Messi's coming here. I really don't care. It didn't register to me. I've gone to 2 crew matches this year. It's not like I've been like all in and oh my gosh, MLS is great. I've been on this show on record. You can find old episodes. I've said that I hate MLS. Like you said, I don't care about the health of soccer. I care about the friends that I have in the crewniverse. And also I will watch the crew matches and they still get me angry. But it's because I'm a fan of the team, not the league. So I initially did not care that Messi was coming here. I wasn't, you know, trying to get tickets. I wasn't going to try to get tickets. I wasn't going to see tickets or anything like that. The thing that shifted for me, MLS announced that Columbus was getting the All-Star game. And I had an article that I wrote for the Columbus Sports Commission about the history of the MLS All-Star game, plus how the history of the next MLS All-Star game will match up to the prior, you know, matches they've held. And I did the history. I was looking at the history, watching old matches, looking at them, you know, how it all fit into the history of MLS All-Star, blah, 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 blah. But then I was writing about Messi and how that's going to be a huge part of the All-Star game because he's going to be an All-Star next year. Like, sure. There's no way he doesn't get voted in. There's like voted in coach selection or commissioner selection. There's no way in hell he's not going to be there.
Right.
So, when I wrote about him, then I was like, I'm pretty excited because I'm looking at his history, look into all the stuff he's won. I think like seven Champions Leagues or some, not seven. He's won a lot of Champions Leagues, seven Ballon d'Ors. That's what it was. Seven yeah. Ballon d'Ors, a World Cup, fresh off the World Cup. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I can be excited about this. Now I'm at the point where they're playing in the League's Cup. Is that what that was called? League's Cup, mm-hmm. where the U.S. and Mexican teams are playing against each other in this summer tournament, which is the far second in terms of summer tournaments behind the World Cup. I'm actually going to watch Miami's game now against Cruz Azul because I want to see him play. Yeah. Like, whenever I went to the Gold Cup down in Cincinnati, there were people selling bootleg kits outside of the stadium, and I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't look twice whenever I saw a pink Messi kit bootleg on the in the tent. I should have. I was like,
I've already seen actually teams put out statements saying they're not going to allow anything but their club's kits in their supporter sections. And that specifically includes they're not going to allow people showing up in Messi kits, in Argentina kits, in Inter Miami Messi kits.
Well, they already do that in Columbus. That's a pretty generic rule, I think, for the established teams. Like, Columbus already does that. If anybody is standing in the Nordic in another kit, in another team's kit, security will move them out because it is only for the supporters of Columbus. Yeah. So that is something, and they'll relocate them to like another seat or something like that. So that is pretty established, but I could see now where it's going to be a problem, especially.
I think the first one I saw was like St. Louis. So it's and I know there's been a lot of talk of with Charlotte FC amongst our fan base. I don't think the club said anything official, but I think some people have said, hey, we'd like to talk with somebody about enforcing that for our supporters section as well. Like,
you should have it in general because that can cause issues.
Well, with the
idiots in every fan base, it can cause absolutely. Issues.
Especially when you're games get sold as just one big party to come get drunk at.
Exactly. But it's not the only thing teams are talking about, because you shared some information about folks are out there. They're out there simping for the billionaire richest owner.
God,
Charlotte has the richest owner in all of MLS
and the NFL.
And what are some supporters doing? Because there is a big argument now about grass fields. Well, more specifically, the argument's about turf fields.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be playing on turf. It's 2023. You're trying to be a top league in the world, and you're playing on turf. That's crap.
Messi
does not want to play on turf.
Well, and it's not been officially said, but I know there's been talk about Miami basically saying he's not going to play on turf. Like if Miami's playing against a club that's got turf, he's just not going to play. And so yeah. if you're Charlotte, or if you're I know there's other teams Portland, in MLS that use
Atlanta.
It's Atlanta, like,
I think Seattle does too, because the Pacific Northwest teams make the excuse, oh, because of the weather, like it rains all the time. You can grow grass.
That seems like it'd be the easiest.
That'd be the best place to
maintain grass. Yeah. constantly raining seems like it'd be a lot harder to maintain it, say Atlanta, who plays in an indoor stadium.
But even for the World Cup, they're going to add grass.
Well, and Charlotte adds grass. They added grass last year when Chelsea came, when Chelsea yeah. played against Charlotte FC in that friendly. They added it looked grass like trash, for that.
Though. That grass looked horrible.
It did. They added grass recently for the Gold Cup. When the Gold really? Cup came, they added grass. And so but really what people are talking about, and this was one person, so I'm not, you know, whatever, but
it's the whole fan base, Brian, is what you meant.
Is that people are, you know, our owner is, one of the rumors is that if he does do grass just for the Miami game, he's going to ask to be compensated.
Oh my gosh.
From Miami, because they're saying they want grass put in for that game instead of artificial turf.
You know how you're going to be compensated for the sold out stadium, the sold out NFL stadium you have because Messi's in your building. That's how you're going to get compensated.
They're going to open up the entire top deck and that will sell out too. And then, yeah, you're going to sell a lot of $15 beers and, you know, this, that, and the other. But yeah, it's. And then somebody, people are defending that, like, oh, he's a businessman. And I'm like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
This guy, the money it would cost to put in grass and keep grass, maintain grass year round in that stadium, he would find if he pulled up the cushions on his couch. Like, this is not some massive, this is our owner being cheap. This is a guy who, again, he's a billionaire. He's people I don't think understand. They hear millionaire, they're like, oh man, that's a lot of money. And then they hear billionaire and they're like, yeah, you know, it's not that much more. No, it's
that
literally
B is a thick B, billionaire,
and he's a multi-billionaire, so thousands of millions of dollars.
That's insane to even like comprehend. We just can't comprehend it. It's an
yeah, no, and I think people can't. So no. Don't defend ownership. This is just a general thing. Guys, don't defend ownership when they're being, like, cheap or when they're trying not to pay players. Or don't defend the ownership.
Don't lick the boot. Don't lick the
boot. You're not a billionaire. You're never going to be a billionaire. Billionaires.
You're never going to be a millionaire.
Probably not. Billionaires shouldn't exist. In a just world, they wouldn't exist. In a just world, their money would be taken from them by force if necessary. But we don't live in that. We don't live in that world. So
if you say, what's the TikTok, the big viral TikTok? It was, if you didn't drink Starbucks, you would save $8 a week. Over a couple of years, it'd be like $20,000, something like that, which Jeff Bezos makes in 60 seconds.
Tell your husband to shut up or whatever. Yes,
yeah, so shut up and enjoy things in life. But also, yeah, just the same idea that don't hold the jockstrap with these owners. You're not on their Christmas card list. They don't know who you are. You're just a line item.
They wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire.
No. Oh, God, no.
So
they would sell tickets and monetize your death.
Yes, no, 100%. If they can make a buck. So that does bring up one of the questions we got, and we can hit this pretty quick. I believe it was Felix. Let me go back to the question. Good Lord, get it together, Caves. Yes, it was Felix. Is the MLS more of a developmental or retirement league? I'm going to say yes.
I think it's become more of a developmental league than it used to be. Yeah, you're bringing in guys who are coming to MLS before going overseas, which has not always been the case. It was always like, hey, let's bring Thierry Henry. Let's bring David Beckham. Let's bring Columbus. Yeah, Guillermo Scalotto. Even him coming to MLS was, I'm from a huge South American club, and I'm in my 30s. Let's go win a championship in Columbus. That was the thing. And now you have young stars on teams that are showing up and they're moving overseas. Like Brendan Aaronson just joined FC Union Berlin after playing with Leeds for a couple seasons. You know, you're getting these guys that are playing over here for a year or so. What's his name who went to Bayern? I forget his name all the time.
Alphonso Davies.
Alphonso Davies. He was here for like 6 months and then it was like, no, we're going to buy him.
Almara that was at, I think Atlanta is now like starting Thiago for Almada. Newcastle. Yeah.
Almiron.
Yeah. Almiron. Yeah. It's like starting for Newcastle. Like,
so MLS is finding these young, talented players. They're playing in MLS and then they're able to move over. I mean, Philadelphia, the Aaronson, like Brendan Aaronson, he barely played in Philadelphia. I think it was like maybe a season and then he left. Yeah, and you're seeing like Sands from New York. He played with Celtic for a year and he was really young coming right out of college and he went over overseas. So
the keeper that Arsenal, not Matt Turner. No, it is Matt Turner. Yeah.
Matt Turner.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Matt Turner. Like it's nice to see. Like, now goalkeepers are like Tim Howard and gosh, oh my God, he played for Columbus. I can't remember his name. Oh my gosh.
Are you referring to Columbus and Tottenham legend Brad Friedel?
Yeah, the guy who has a like some sort of like Spanglish accent with English and British English. He speaks part American, part British, and he combines the two. They've had history of bringing like goalkeepers over. Yeah. Because a goalkeeper, you can identify pretty quickly. Oh, the dude's tall. He's got moves. He's got reaction time. Okay, he'll come over. But you haven't seen that for like forwards outside like Brian McBride. Landon Donovan went over there a little bit. But instead of one guy every few years, you're hearing multiple guys going overseas every year.
Pretty well constantly now, yeah.
So I would say it's closer to the developmental side. You're never going to turn down Messi coming over here. It doesn't help you.
Or Chicharito or, Lorenzo right. Insigne, or I think Busquets is coming to Miami is just signing like the 05 Barcelona team.
Now, dude, let's talk about that for a second. The one thing about MLS is they're growing. They're trying to do it right. And they have these rules and stuff. Well, as right as you can. It's a real estate scheme. But they are trying to enforce financial rules and salary caps and all that.
Whoa,
and making
Betty,
sure teams are – right. Yeah, right. So they do this with all these teams. Miami gets in trouble a couple years ago because they broke the financial rules. And now you're telling me the same team that broke financial rules, that you punished them, now they have Lionel Messi, Busquets. You're also talking about signing Luis Suarez. They're changing roster rules now, mid-season, not even mid-season, mid-transfer window. The owners are meeting this week to change rules for Miami. You've just completely lost any integrity. Now, it was all fake integrity.
I was going to say.
Like we said, it's a real estate scheme. They try to make it look like they're professional on the surface. Behind the scenes, it's all about money. I mean, even Don Garber this week, he said the quiet part out loud whenever somebody asked about what happens if Miami doesn't make the playoffs. His response was, success is measured in other ways outside of just winning.
Also, like Miami is all of a sudden never going to have another foul called on them for the rest of the season.
Oh, right, right.
If it's borderline, the other team's getting a red. Not even a yellow, just a red. Like, oh my God, Charlotte is down to 8 men.
Well, Charlotte's bad in the first place. So
Charlotte is leading the MLS in two key factors, two key categories:
yellow right and red cards.
Not red cards. I don't think we're leading in red cards. We are leading in yellow cards and goals allowed. So.
So it's going to be fun. If you want to watch Messi score, go and see him in Miami.
See him in Charlotte.
Or Columbus for that matter, because Columbus can't stop a goal to save their damn lives. So that's my gripe with it, a league that I already gripe with a lot. But this is just the newest gripe. It just blows my mind that Miami is being rewarded. Now, it's not Miami's being rewarded because it's – they're just another McDonald's franchise. MLS is being rewarded.
Bex.
Right. This is all about getting butts in the seats, paying for new stadiums. Now maybe they can use this in Miami to get a new stadium built. Money.
The like rickety looking temporary stands they've put up already in Miami.
No, I haven't. I need to look it up.
Those are terrifying looking. Like they look like something out of like a poor high school. Like we're not even talking like a rich, fancy, like Texas high school football.
Yeah, no,
like
Texas.
It looks like some stuff that would have been at like my poor rural high school.
Well, Texas high schools, their stadiums are better than some MLS stadiums for sure.
Most college football stadiums. I think, Thomas, we should close tonight on the big thing coming up. Are you excited for the Women's World Cup?
Oh, my gosh, Bryant.
This is like night before Christmas, like, because this will be on.
Literally tomorrow morning.
We're recording this Wednesday night, a little behind the scenes info for you.
Ooh, how the sausage is made.
By the time you listen to this, there will be women's soccer at the World Cup in Australia.
There'll be two of them because this is likely coming out after 8 a.m. And New Zealand will have already lost to Norway. And then Australia will have already lost to Republic of Ireland.
Hell yeah.
Hell yes. I have a rule. I made a rule for the World Cup. I'm not trying to wake up for any 3 a.m. group matches.
No.
Any group stage match, I'm not waking up at 3 a.m. I'm just going to say it out loud. I'm going to put it on recording. I'm not doing it. But now I looked later on in the schedule. There's some quarterfinals and a semifinal that are also 3 a.m. If USA is playing, I might try my best to wake up and watch it. Just because it's a knockout match in the World Cup, I'm going to do that. But I will be awake for the Australia-Ireland. I'm going to wake up early for that one tomorrow.
For the 6 a.m.? Yeah, I'm going to do the same. Probably set like a 5:50 alarm. 5:55, yeah. And you know,
turn on Peacock, watch it on Spanish because I'm not listening to Alexi Lawless. If I hear a thing from Alexi Lawless this whole World Cup, I will consider it a loss for humanity.
Yeah, I'll just watch it in Spanish.
Si.
Practice my Spanish. So yeah, that's exciting. I'm sure we'll cover plenty of that. We did a kind of a more in-depth preview on the show last week, and then we'll I'm sure keep talking about it as the matches happen and given our analysis. But yeah, I'm super stoked for that in the morning.
I did not say this in the last episode, and I feel like it was an epiphany I had today when I was thinking about the World Cup coming up. I said USA, I want them to win, of course. Republic of Ireland, I think that'd be cool if they won just because of, you know, my bland white heritage. I did not give enough thought behind. I really want Brazil to kind of win the whole thing. Brazil have never won it on the women's side, but this is Marta's, what, fifth World Cup or something like that?
Marta's
a beast. I want her to get a World Cup. So I still want USA to win, but somebody asked me, okay, if Brazil and USA were both in the final, I probably want Brazil to win.
I can't see. I am not. I'm not a generally. I think my politics are pretty well established on this show. I'm not generally a rah-rah U.S. jingoistic USA all the way, better than all the other countries in the world. Blah blah blah. Sports, especially international sports, is the one time when I say in sports in general. We always joke that. I'm a different person when it comes to sports. It's when I can embrace the pettiness and the negative qualities that I don't want
to have. You don't have to be logical. It's all illogical.
As a normal person. So right. I'm going to be during this. I've already our Mint City supporters group for Charlotte has one guy in particular who's very vocal is British. And there is so much smack talk going on with him already between me and other people. I told him, for instance, recently, listen, Matt, just like in 1776, you guys are playing for second place.
I hope they might not even get out of a knockout round match. I don't think I said last week, expect England to get knocked out in the first knockout round.
I hope it's by one of the countries that they colonized.
There's gonna be a lot of options available.
If Jamaica could knock them out or something, that would just be.
I would love if Australia beat them, because send all the prisoners down there, and then we're going to lock up any chance.
Australia will probably beat them anyway if they play it. So right. No, give me give me an upset. Give me
That's fair. Okay, I can live with that.
I mean, when we beat them, that will also be technically a country they tried to colonize. So
that's very true. I'm looking forward to. That also going to go out Friday night to Studio 35 here in Columbus. It's where our buddy Pete Shoulders and Neck Gillette works. He's just built different. We're going to go to I'm going to go there because they have a recliner room. It's the movie theater, but they've got a recliner room upstairs. So we're going to watch USA versus Vietnam on Friday night and watch them just destroy them. Just destroy Vietnam.
It's the revenge match.
Right. Yeah, this one's for Bubba. This one's for Bubba. So
hell yeah.
I want to go home. That's what they're going to be saying at the end of the USA match. It's going to be very one sided. I feel bad for Vietnam in this group. It's just a tough group to be in, to be honest. Netherlands, United States, even Portugal is a rising nation on the women's side. Yeah, I'm excited for that. But if you're in Columbus, come out to Studio 35 Friday night. If there's space, I've heard Pete's telling me that it's going to be pretty fire, so you need to get out there. Brian Lannoy is waiting until Friday afternoon to tell me if he's going. Brian, you got to put up. You got to put up or shut up, buddy.
Brian, you're going. You know you're going. Stop
We're
it.
Saving seats here, buddy. We got to save you a seat. Anyway.
You're going. So on that note, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the show every week. We really do appreciate that. This is 2 weeks in a row we've recorded, which is crazy.
Well, we record every week. We record every week. We never miss a week, Brian.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Please tell your friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, enemies, random people that you meet on the street. You guys know that drill by now. Interact with us on social media. Submit your Ask Bam questions. You can do that at Bryant and Me on both Instagram and Threads. You can follow Thomas at One Thomas Costello on Instagram, Threads, and Twitter.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the good stuff he is writing. We'll be getting ramping up for women's basketball season coming up, and some of the other good stuff will be writing there. You can follow me on Instagram, and I don't really post on Threads, but you can follow me there if you want. I'm at Pickle Chip. Replace the I's with ones. I have a Twitter. I never post on it. Don't follow me on it. It's stupid.
Oh, Brian. Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, you know, you can do that if you so desire. Please take care of yourselves. Please take care of each other. Take care of your physical health as well as your mental health. That is very important, and you are very important and loved by us. Solidarity with the actors, writers, and most importantly, the UPS workers. Who are striking right now. Solidarity with those folks. Don't be a fucking scab.
One question we didn't get to.
Oh, yes. Is
issue one, vote yes or no.
We're Thomas, vehemently... I'm thinking about voting yes for that.
You son of a bitch. No, we are big vote no on issue one, folks. I just got my sign for my front yard. I have a vote issue no, vote one on issue one. Oh, my God, vote no on issue one. My gosh, I've had too many white claws tonight, folks. Vote no on issue one. It will raise the constitutional updates threshold to getting 60% to make changes. Not only that, I watched an interesting video today. 0.13% of the Ohio population could stop measures from even getting into the ballot, from even getting onto the November ballot, because they're also going to change the threshold to you have to get 5% of all voters from the last election to sign your petition in all 88 counties. Ohio has multiple counties with less than 15,000 people living in it.
That's insanity.
So if you organize enough, you could have an entire county of less than 15,000 people hamstring any ideas that you want to get into your state's constitution for a state, I should say, that is gerrymandered. I think actually my body is part gerrymandered. That's how gerrymandered our state is.
Your like arm is in one voting district, right, and your leg is in another. Yeah,
exactly. So the Republicans control everything. It's a super majority. This is a power play move to not only have a super majority, but also make it so the people have no way of changing anything. And it's the grossest power grab where I've seen folks on both sides who are like, this is just ridiculous. Why are you doing this? It's so obvious what you're trying to do here. And it is disgusting. It's if this wins, if issue one passes, I feel like that's the tipping point where I'm like, we really have to get out of here. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. We have to get out of here. I know it sounds extreme, and there's also a piece of that that is privilege included, that we could even do that. that we could even move like that. But at the same time, if everyone's looking out for number one, at what point?
Yeah.
At one point should I start looking out for number one? So that's something that is on the back of my mind. I feel like it's the save me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. But save me, vote an issue, vote no on issue one, you're my only hope. So please, if you're in Ohio, for the love of God, on August 8th, go vote no. There's only one thing you have to vote for. There's only one issue on the ballot. Vote no, for the love of God.
Vote early. Vote often.
Yes.
Get out there and vote no.
Yes.
Bring your relatives, living or dead. If
you got a neighbor who can't get to the polling place, put them in your car. Say, hey, I'll drive you over there. Let's go. Let's vote.
Whether they're, you know, functioning or not. I mean,
registered or not. Yeah.
I mean, you know, like that's what we got to do. What we got to do. Democracy's on the line here, people. Hey everybody, have a great week. Let's go USA. America, fuck yeah.
USA. Maharta. US. Oh.
Boo. USA. USA all the way. All the way to USA. O'Doyle rules. Have a good week.
Take
guys.
The fall. Act hurt. Get indignant. Adios.